Flex Friday in Fall River at Pier 52 is brought to you by Miller Lite, celebrating 50 years of being the original light beer. For 50 years, it has been Miller time, New England, and that is Miller Lite is the original light beer. We are Boston Sports original, so I would say sounds great, less filling, I think is the fair way to say that. And I want to thank everybody who has been here this morning. Unbelievable turnout. You guys are incredible. Give yourselves a round of applause. Unbelievable. We're awaiting Heidi Watney, who's going to join us and talk Friday Night Baseball on Apple this evening. And the rest of the season, the most important part of the season, the post-trade deadline portion of the Major League Baseball season begins this evening, Curtis. You said you're going tomorrow. Which
tomorrow,
means?
Yeah. And grandparents, a big day. Big day tomorrow at Fenway.
I can't believe you're missing Bravo night.
I know.
You should have gone tonight.
I tried to get him.
Tamara Judge. That's huge.
Too expensive.
This is Dan from Florida. Dan, good morning.
Hey, guys, good morning. Really like the show. Glad we can get it down here in Florida. Hey, I was at all three games in Minneapolis this past weekend. And first of all, we should have won the first one. Second of all, I think the Red Sox got to stop playing around with Rafaela and keep him in center field. Put Hamilton on second if that's what you got to do. And just alternate the four outfielders, one guy DHing every game, and just alternate it because Rafaela has to stay in center field. He's the best defensive center fielder in baseball. And pitching-wise, who the hell knows? I think our starting pitching is okay. I don't like May. I've watched him as a dog. I called him the clown. He just is not the answer. He's not the answer for what we need. And
I appreciate that. I mean, Marcelo Meyer will be back at some point. I think, I don't know, I'm assuming that they were holding the full analysis of that injury off until after the deadline. So I assume you'll find out now, today or this weekend, how long that is.
But, yeah, and I said it earlier, but it's true. The real ramifications of the inaction will be felt as they are cushioning Crochet in the second half because they're going to be within a game or two of in or out of the playoffs, and you're going to be starting, you know, a sixth or seventh starter because you're giving Crochet an extra day or two between starts. So that means if you had Joe Ryan, that's a game you win. Now it's likely a game that you lose.
All right. Well, it is Friday Night Baseball tonight on Apple. And joining us now to talk a little bit, maybe some positive about the Red Sox, since it's been all negative all morning long, is our friend Heidi Watney. Heidi, good morning.
Good morning. How are you
How are
doing?
You?
Doesn't
How
sound
you doing?
Like you're doing very great.
No, great.
You feel like a missed opportunity when it comes to the Red Sox and what they didn't do yesterday?
I do. But I think that a lot of teams that were in the market for starting pitching didn't get what they wanted, right? A lot of GMs said just the asking price was too high. I mean, it's Red Sox are going against the Astros this weekend, and they didn't get a starter either, and that was high on their priority list. So I heard that from a lot of GMs around the league yesterday. Just the asking price was too high on starting pitching.
How are the Red Sox perceived nationally? You know, locally we've seen a real shift in their spending, in their, you know, just overall willingness to extend themselves for championships. Has there been a national understanding of sort of the new path of the Red Sox?
I think the national outlook is pretty much the same on the Red Sox. It's kind of surprising that a team that can operate like a big market team, it's one of the premier teams in baseball in terms of the franchise and the respect that it garners. And they have been operating on a lower budget lately, and just the moves that they make aren't, you know, you saw it yesterday, AJ Preller, he's on a totally different spectrum going all in. But Dodgers didn't do a whole lot because the offseason they stockpiled. I mean, they're spending money like crazy. Mets are spending money like crazy. Even Yankees went really big yesterday at the trade deadline, bigger than I expected them to. And the Red Sox, they show a lot of promise. They're still a very good team. But they just seem to kind of seem to be in the middle. They're not doing nothing, and they're still a big team and have a huge fan base, as I know from my time here. but they're not going as big as they could, it seems.
Heidi, I was just going to bring up your time here. I mean, you have a special connection to Massachusetts and to the Red Sox. So for you, looking back to 2008 to where we are standing at 2025, what's the biggest difference you see, whether it's the team, ownership, or fan base?
Oh, gosh. When I was here in 2008, it seemed like the Red Sox were one of the those, you know, the Yankees, the Phillies, the Mets, the Dodgers, the teams that you expected to be going all in every year, doing whatever it takes to win a championship. That doesn't seem to be the case as much anymore, but it's still a franchise that has so much history. It's still a city that is so proud of its baseball team, even though everyone seems to be a bit not happy with the team for the last couple of years, and understandably so, right? You're not going to come if they're not putting a winning product on the field. Postseason baseball is what it's about. That's what the grind's about. So it does seem to be operating a little bit differently than the team did in 2008. But it's still such a, like, I just love Boston. I love the Red Sox. You know, the organization was good to me. I love my time here. So I'd like to see them get back to that consistent prominence that it seemed like when I was there from 2008 through 2011, that it seemed like they were chasing every year.
Heidi, you talk about your love for baseball. I know Bryce Harper had his choice words for Commissioner Rob Manfred about, you know, possibly a new CBA. Where do you
think? Oh, Courtney hadn't heard about that yet.
Yes.
He's going to be my lead on my
Courtney hadn't heard about that. But where do you stand, like, with, you know, being around Major League Baseball and owners maybe wanting to eliminate those 10-year contracts that they, you know, get stuck with? Do you see a change happening? Do you see potentially a salary cap, or do you see players maybe going to like the NBA contract model where it's like maybe 6 years is like the max deals you start to see?
Well, I definitely think that a lot of teams and a lot of ownerships would like to see a salary cap with what's happened recently, with especially with the Mets and Dodgers. I mean, the Dodgers are just a machine right now, and they're churning out so much success that they're pulling in so much cash and they're putting it right back into the team. And the Mets have Steve Cohen, and he just, there is no player that he wants to buy that he won't go to the moon for. And so some of the smaller market teams are like, we can't even hang in this realm. But at the same time, MLB wants to have a floor. They don't want just a salary cap. They want to do a cap and a floor to make a little more. And it's funny that, you know, parity is the word right now because there is so much parity in the sport. But they just want a little more balance. And so the commissioner's office thinks they can do that by having a salary cap because there's a lot of owners. I mean, the commissioner's office is an extension of ownership. And outside of a small handful of owners, most owners don't want to give those $700 million, $800 million contracts. It's just not prudent to do that. I mean, there's a lot to live up to, too. I mean, if you had a cap on the number of years you could give a contract, on the number of dollars you could give a contract, then you're not going to have players like Soto go in with all this pressure because he's a $786 million man, right? It's going to be just a little bit more balanced. But you have contracts that fully guaranteed in baseball. I mean, it's great. It's great for the players. They had the strongest union. They have they've had great CBAs in the past. But it's kind of ridiculous. If you really look at it just from a perspective, you're guaranteed this money no matter how you perform. I mean, there's been so many contracts that have been just an albatross. Look at Anthony Rendon. He is handicapping the LA Angels, and the guy doesn't even play and doesn't even seem like he wants to play. And yet he's making just a ton of money. It's gotten too far in the sport. So while I appreciate the Phillies have a really tight clubhouse, a really solid clubhouse, and Bryce Harper is going to stick up, but look at what Bryce Harper did. He took less money longer term to stay and build something, but he's the anomaly. And what he did, I mean, his contract is looking like a complete steal right now for what he brings to that city and that franchise. Other guys are chasing, most people would chase the money, highest dollar, right? And it's just creating a real imbalance in the sport. So I think if you sit back and try and look at it logically, like if you can get a floor, players need to think about what they want, what's the most important thing to them, and they need to work on that and give it in exchange for a cat, because it's just gotten a little bit out of control right now. And the disparity between the major league minimum and then the $40 million a year that the top guys are getting is just absolutely crazy in the sport, especially when you see like the Red Sox are getting all these younger players coming through and providing so much value and getting paid the major league minimum, while their teammate over here is making like 100 times what they're making.
So you're saying, well, we have a billionaire owner here too, we just have a frugal one, is what you're saying.
Well, I mean, not necessarily. he's gotten more frugal, but I think with any business model, John Henry's a savvy businessman, and so he's going to treat it a little bit more like a business than he is treating it like his childhood passion, like Steve Cohen is coming in doing.
Right. All right, well, so game tonight on Apple. It's great to hear your voice. I would ask you to rank, out of all concerts that you've been to, rank the Greg Hill Foundation, Zac Brown show at MGM. Is that in your top 10?
I love any Zac Brown show. So, yes.
Okay.
Yes,
all right.
That
okay,
would
good.
Be.
Good job, Greg.
All right. All right. Top 10. Round of applause for Heidi Watney. They love you here, Heidi. All right.
I love being back in Boston. One of my favorite places.
All right, great to talk to you. Game tonight on Apple, and it's Friday Night Baseball. And we will be back from Pier 52 in Fall River on a Flex Friday with Hill Notes to wrap things up.